Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
So these are the days when I question my own manliness.
Oh.
Because, like, all right, so I live in a building, right? And yeah. We have a grill, and I'm going to grill. I went and purchased
like a community
some,
grill.
Yeah, I went and purchased some sazita.
Oh.
I like the spicy sazita, Italian sausage, you know. And
we had brats the other night.
I cut them up into little pieces, and then I eat on them, and I may even eat a beer, drink a beer tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't drink much anymore. But what's disappointing is when you go out to the community grill, you know, you got that guy there. And that guy's the guy who shows up with his own tongs and his own squirt bottle. He's been there for a half a day.
Yeah.
He's smoking some meat that he wants to spend the next 30 minutes explaining to you why he's the best meat preparer there is.
Oh, boy.
He's got his little rub with his little brush to put things onto it. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't even know how to cook these little weenies I got here. You know, I'm just hoping that I don't dry them out too much. I don't... And then you got that guy. And then it reminds me that grilling is almost as intimidating as going to the gym.
Really?
Because you go to the gym, right? You know, and you got those beefcakes who are working it out
and who are doing stuff.
And they got the proper form, you know, and they're looking at you like, you know.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you're going to do that? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Do you know what you're doing? Are you going to hurt yourself? That's how I feel when I go to the grill.
Really?
And even when I hang out with, like, my brother-in-laws and stuff, like, I wouldn't know that you're supposed to squirt water on ribs. I mean, how do you know that?
Well, you're squirting water to keep the flames down.
Yeah. Have you cooked ribs before?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe I have.
I'm too intimidated to cook them because of the whole flame thing. And the whole squirting the bottle of water. I'm like a simple meat guy. I want a chicken.
Yeah.
I want a hamburger.
Yeah.
Or I want a filet.
Yeah.
Beyond that, my skill set's no good on the grill.
Really?
Uh-uh.
So, but, and I guess you've got charcoal grills out at your place.
No, it's a gas grill.
It's a gas
but
grill.
Even it doesn't matter what kind of grill.
The man was squirting water on a gas grill?
No, I'm kind of conflating stories together, okay. But I'm trying to make a point that I feel less manly. As it relates to not having the barbecuing ability of other men.
Well, it's a skill, Michael, and you've got to develop, you know,
a certain skill. Yeah,
and you know the whole key is flame control,
low and slow.
Yes. Well, usually not always. Sometimes you want it to be let it fly high.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're trying to accomplish out there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
I figure you just want the hottest setting always.
Well,
don't you want it hot? You want raging.
It's like a dance.
Ah.
You know, there you're out there on the dance floor.
Yep.
You got your arm around her.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling her close in.
Yep.
And you're just swaying
sauntering,
back and forth
and
keeping perfect beat to the music, the beautiful melody that's playing behind you there. The barbecue's like that.
Okay, so what is your particular specialty? Is it the tri-tip? Is it the filet? Is it just your plain old New York, you know, strip?
The strip is good. Ribeye is good.
Really?
You know, I'll tell you what's all the rage now. I've not done this one yet.
Okay.
The tomahawk. Have you seen these things?
Well, I mean, I've been to restaurants where they come out and the guy, you know, is holding on to the bone and he slaps it on the the tray to, see, there's tomahawk, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm impressed, okay?
Well,
it's
an impressive piece of meat.
I guess. I mean, it when they come with the bone, it reminds me that this was an animal. And I like not to think about that.
I get it.
I'm weird, brother. I'm weird, but I don't like eating off a bone.
Oh, the tomahawk.
So have you cooked the tomahawk?
My son-in-law cooked the tomahawk.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought...
It's a huge piece of meat.
Massive.
Feeds three or four people.
It's massive.
Yeah.
And have you had one of these, James? Oh, wow. I mean, it's an impressive... I would want to grill that just to say I've been there. And it's like going to the World Snooker Tournament.
Right. On the Instagram, you know, you'll see these guys who get big pieces of meat, and they'll take little, like, pieces of rosemary and sage and shove it
garlic,
into the meat.
Garlic.
Did he do that?
I don't know what he did.
See, I'm inferior as a man because I would never think that. I would think, oh, okay, I'm going to throw this on the grill and just grill it up. And then how do you know what temperature the inside is? You know what I mean? Guys are like, oh, well, I got the perfect temperature. Look at the peak.
That would be a meat thermometer.
Yeah. But is that really? Yeah, I don't see those guys who are walking around with the squirt bottles with meat thermometers. Well, yeah, they seem to know what the heck they're doing.
Well, you don't know the temperature. Like, I don't know if I'm 97.6 right now.
Or well, what's 98.6.
Whatever it is. I could be 97.6. I don't know why, because I don't have a thermometer in my mouth or my butt.
They take the day off over 97.1. They take the day off.
Yeah, whatever
here
it is.
11:20. Right here.
But that's why you have a meat thermometer, Michael. It'll tell you how hot
so
your meat is.
That's kind of unmanly, right? You don't go out to the grill with a meat thermometer.
Sure.
Come on.
Depending on what you're cooking.
That's.
Or if I'm home making my pastizzo, for example. You want to have the thermometer in there to, you know.
I think a true grill guardsman, someone of masterful skill set, they don't need a meat thermometer to tell them when their meat is done. They know by the sound, the look, the smell. See, maybe I'm not hanging out in the right meat places. If I went over to your house, it sounds like I could have a meat thermometer there.
And well, or I
could pull up the YouTube and look at videos and
simply
stuff.
The smush test is also effective.
The smush test?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that you want a certain amount of give on that meat out there.
Right.
Because if you overcook it, it's not going to smush.
But I'm suggesting to you, there's guys out there, you know, like, it's like, you know, real good grillers.
Yeah.
They don't need any of that. They just throw the meat on there like it's a frisbee. They look at it. They don't pull open the grill 5 and 6 times like I do.
No, that's a mistake.
You know, and then all of a sudden they just open it up. They casually flip it over. They close it back up, and then the next thing you know, they're walking in and they're saying, "We're going to let it rest for 10 minutes," and then it's perfect.
Yeah,
I'm intimidated by those guys.
Well, what you don't want to be is a multi-flipper. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've seen these guys out there.
Yeah,
that really don't have an appreciation for what's happening on that grill.
Yeah,
and they're flipping.
Too much flipping.
Too much flipping.
Yeah.
There's one flip.
Yeah.
If you're gonna cook food now, nothing wrong with utilizing a little timing device.
Right.
7 minutes. Uh-huh. 8. Whatever it is. Nothing wrong with that. That's not cheating. But it's one flip. And if you're flipping 2, 3, 4, 5 times, you're doing something wrong.
Do you ever make burgers where you smash them up yourself and put them into the little circle, et cetera?
Yeah.
Are you able to keep those burgers looking like a burger? Because what mine do is they wind up kind of swelling up into the, almost like an egg-looking thing.
Well, are you mashing them down?
No, because when you mash them, then they fall through and they go on the coals and all that stuff.
That.
No, but I'm just saying that they don't stay flat. They wind up getting more.
Because your scoop technique is wrong.
Okay.
You got to get up under that thing.
Yeah.
And if you're flipping the burger, for example, you got to have a good spatula.
Mm-hmm.
There's no substitute for if you got a crappy spatula. Then life is not going to be good to you.
Okay.
But you get yourself a good spatula. It's got enough width to it to where you're going to get the whole burger on that dog.
Right.
Whoosh, you got to be fast with that thing.
Uh-huh.
And then you turn it over, but lay it down gentle. Lay it down. Don't be throwing it down there on the. No. You want to. And then slowly turn and set.
So I don't know about you, but the gas grill is more of a new phenomenon in my life, meaning the second half. I don't remember them being around when I was in.
Yeah, the old Weber kettle.
The Weber kettle is what.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never an easy process, right? You had to go out, and sometimes you had to put a little lighter fluid on there, and then you get the coals nice and hot.
Right.
And there was no regulating of the temperature. You had to use your own brain.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
If you know how to lay the coals. It's all about.
Then you're messing with the little holes that let air in. And, you know, then there's you smell like charcoal the rest of the damn day. You know? You do. Yeah.
You do.
I feel like less of a man. So I'm glad that maybe I'll just pick my meat up from some local barbecue joint.
There you go. There is that, too. Because those folks know what they're doing.
Well, of course.
I mean, you get paid.
Could you imagine getting paid to be a grill master?
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I'm too.
We haven't done 3 hours on the radio in a long time, and I'm starving.
How long is it that you usually go without eating?
Me?
Yeah.
I can go 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah. Are you a breakfast, lunch, and dinner guy, or if you have breakfast, will you skip lunch?
I usually don't eat breakfast.
Really?
Which is not healthy. It's not good.
I eat some of these little things called Metamucil crisps.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's my doctor the other day told me I ought to take that
stuff. They're called Metamucil crisps. You're going to love them, dude.
Okay.
And they're like a little breakfast snack almost. They're 100 calories. There's two of them. They make them an apple cinnamon.
Relating to our audience out there. Talking about the Metamucil.
But I'm telling you, you'll love them. And they're delicious. And, you know, you've got to have a little water with them or you'll feel like you got sawdust in your mouth. But it's good stuff.
It's tasty sawdust.
Yeah, it's not quite.
Can't wait to have some of that.
He's John Hancock. Yeah, I'm Michael Kelly.
Tasty sawdust.
Have you been on a road trip lately? My guy's getting ready to go on one.
Yeah, I am.
We'll talk about it. Lots of people out there on the roads today, maybe coming back from your Memorial Day or spending another day at the lake and coming home tomorrow. But lots of you hopped in the cars and jetted all around the country. And I'm about a 3.5-hour, 4-hour road trip max guy. So I'll drive over to Kansas City.
You don't like the road trips.
Down to Springfield, Memphis, sure. Indianapolis, sure. Chicago's almost too long. And the reason that Chicago's almost too long is that it's that whole hour and a half of traffic that you deal with in Chicago. But Chicago's not a bad trip, but I have some friends. A friend of mine just drove from St. Louis out to Las Vegas.
Wow.
Spent the week in Las Vegas for a convention and then took their time coming back through the West and, did 3,500 miles on the road.
Wow.
And just had a blast. And that sounds like torture to myself. Are you a road trip guy?
Well, the road trip has its certain je ne sais quoi, shall we say. It's, Well, for one, it takes you back. It takes me back to childhood because we never flew.
No, ditto. Back at the station.
Never flew. And so we pack up the car, and I remember driving to Florida.
Oof.
When my brother and sister were in the car.
Uh-huh.
And that took forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we spent the night somewhere, some little podunk,
right.
Motel.
Georgia.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was what we used to do when I was a kid. It was to take the road trip. Last summer, we loaded up the family and drove up to Michigan.
Nice.
For a week. And so we had, the kids took their car. We took our car. My father-in-law was with us. And, of course, Gus.
Gus goes everywhere.
We all load them up and head them out. And, I mean, that's a 7.5-hour Well, and by the time you stop and eat and get gas and da-da-da, you're talking about 8.5, 9 hours.
Have you been to these new super gas stations? One of them's called Bucky?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wally's.
What is it?
Wally's.
Bucky's. Wally's?
Yeah.
I've not been to either. Have you?
They're
on the way?
Well, they got Wawa's out in up in the northeast
Michigan?
Of the country. No, in like New Jersey when I was at Wawa is a big one. But, they've got everything you need right there. You take a shower if you want to in there.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know there's one out there on the way to Eureka, and I've passed it a couple of times, but I haven't been there. But I know folks who literally schedule their road trips to hit those types of places because they've got full-on restaurants inside there. Like you said, I guess, there's a place kids can play some games.
Yeah.
And goof around, but it's just not my bag, man. I'm not.
A big road trip.
I can't stand it. It seems like such a.
Well, the conversations that you can have.
Really?
You're in the car. What are you going to do? So you talk.
Yeah.
And so, if you're going with your spouse, you probably haven't had a conversation that long with your spouse in
quite some
time. Since the last road trip.
Quite some time. How's the dog do on road trips like that?
Well, when you.
You give him some artificial help?
Yeah.
Some chemicals?
Yeah, he kind of mellows out.
What do we call it? Puppy Zoloft?
Yeah, right.
That's good. Yeah.
So he was fine, and then, you stop and you get out, and he did well in the car.
Yeah.
And the baby last summer did well in the car.
Little Tula?
Little Tula. She was great.
Is she going on this year's summer expedition?
Yeah.
Now, so she's two?
Two, yeah.
And so she's got teeth.
Oh, mouthful.
She can walk.
Absolutely.
She can make noise, but is she talking?
Oh, yeah, she's talking. She's communicating.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What's her favorite word?
Pawpaw? Pawpaw is high on the list. Sing happy birthday.
Yeah.
Sing happy birthday. She likes that, and she likes to sing Old
MacDonald. Old MacDonald.
Old MacDonald.
Yeah.
And she likes when I play on the piano. And so, you know, that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah. Now, you play lots of piano with her. Is she sitting on the bench next to you while you play the
piano? She'll come up
and
play, and she mostly dances. She's a great dancer.
Really?
Very gifted.
Sways back and forth?
Yeah, no, she's got a lot of moves.
Did you ever realize, I mean, when you're a parent, which I'm neither nor a parent or a grandparent, you have that bond. I mean, you created that human, et cetera.
Yeah.
But there's something, a light that goes off when people connect with their grandchild.
I can't explain it, but there's nothing like it. People have told me that for years. And the good thing about me being I actually look like a grandparent. My wife does not. But she is a grandparent. But, yeah, there is something. In fact, we're going to have the little thing next weekend.
A whole weekend?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Well, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah? So. Now, does she sleep in her own little room?
Yeah,
or is she going to want to sleep between me and Papa?
No, she's got a room. She's got a room in her house. And, we've got her 3 days a week, so she takes her nap time up there. I've got it nice and dark in there. I did a masterful job covering the window.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself.
She knows you the best because I spend quite a bit of time with you. And when she FaceTimes you, she knows how to FaceTime you. And when she FaceTimes you, she's ecstatic to see you. And then all of a sudden I'll pop in the back and she'll get that frightened look on her face like, who's that clown?
Who's that guy? Well, you do the Donald Duck impersonation, which
she
loves.
Well, that's definitely something she doesn't need to see me for.
Right.
Because she wants to see her papa. And so, has she buzzed this morning yet?
Haven't heard from her.
Oh,
this
it'll start. But she will bug the heck out of her parents until they buzz you, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the
See Papa. See
How
Papa.
Great is that, buddy?
It's the best, man.
You deserve every second of it.
I'll tell you what else we deserve in this town.
What's that?
Some Cardinal baseball.
Oh,
they're on fire.
There. Yeah.
10 out of 12. Who would have thought? I'll tell you who would have thought. Me.
Yeah.
You remember before the season started? What did I tell you?
You said, be patient, kid.
They're going to be fine.
Yeah. Listen, you're a far more patient person than I. I was all over my folks to start giving our tickets away. But now I want to hold on to those tickets. I was there Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Saw a winner.
I saw a great game. In fact, I was so worried we were going to blow it.
What was it, 6 in a row, right? We won 6 in a row.
Right. Well, we swept the Cubs.
Yeah, swept the Cubs, swept the Orioles,
right.
One of the best teams in baseball. So
and now we go to Cincinnati.
And that's, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4 series in a row we've won.
And they're cellar dwellers.
Yeah, they started off hot. There's a lot of talent on that team, but they started out hot.
If the Cardinals win today, they'll be 500.
That's unbelievable. We're going to break down what's happening with this ball club after the news right here on KMOX.
Play ball. On your voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Paul Goldschmidt. Batting with a man on again. He hit a home run the last time with a man on. There's a swing and a drive. That's hit deep to left field. Down the line. It's a goner. Goalie hits his second home run. 4-0 Cardinals in the fifth inning.
That's an important guy to continue to keep hot.
Yeah.
Boy.
He's a hitter. When he gets hot and streaky, I mean, he does massive damage. So you got to hope that this is the beginning of something.
A renaissance.
A renaissance, perhaps.
Yeah, because last year he had an off year. He was the MVP 2 years ago, right? And has an off year last year. I think a lot of us got nervous when this season started that he just still wasn't hitting.
Yeah, because his last 2 months last year were not good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first half of the season last year, he was fine.
Right.
And he's usually a slow starter historically. But, yeah, I think a lot of people were thinking Father Time may be catching up here.
And then on the other corner is an important guy to have a hot bat as well, and he's been contributing, Nolan Arenado. I mean,
yeah, but the power's not there. It's 3 home runs for Arenado. The 2 for Goldie last night gave him, 6 on the season, I think. If this team's going to go far, you've got to have those 2 guys producing at a high level. And your 3rd and 4th batters or 2nd and 3rd batters, however you want to use them in the lineup, have got to produce runs. And Goldie produced all 4 runs for the Cardinals yesterday.
Yeah, and last night the ace of the Cardinals took to the mound, and he just continues to roll on. Sonny Gray seems to have been the acquisition that we were promised.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He had a great season last year, and he's always been a good pitcher. His career ERA is quite good. And as advertised, he's come in and been an ace for this staff. He's 7-2 now. Great outing for him last night. His control, when he's got his control on, he's got such an assortment of pitches that he's very difficult to outthink if you're a hitter, because he's got so many things. And that sweeper pitch of his is really impressive.
Well, the Cardinals still trying to find out who that fifth starter is going to be. They've been able to avoid having to do it. The rain out earlier this week postpones helped. That another time. But we got Lance Lim going to the mound again today. He goes out at 3:10 is start time, so we'll have the pregame starting about 2 o'clock here on KMOX. Mm-hmm. And eventually those Cardinals are going to have to find a fifth starter, though, right?
Yeah, or deal for one. You know, it's been Matthew Liberatore, who's been much more effective out of the bullpen than he's been starting. His starts filling in for Steven Matz have not been great. And don't know if we've got any options. I guess there was some talk of who's the right-hander, James, that they were talking about bringing. Yeah. Andre Pallante down in Memphis. He may get the next fifth starter slot for the Cardinals. But I think you're at a place where you might have to go out and get a pitcher, and maybe not a number five either. Maybe somebody that's a number three starter. Not sure what's available, but the Cardinals now all of a sudden have, again, an abundance of outfielders. So Jordan Walker's down in Memphis, Tommy Edman's recovering from that wrist surgery, and you've still got Newt Barr, Donovan, Burleson, who's playing very good baseball. Siani's been in center field. He's gone once Tommy Edman comes back, I would think. But you're going to have a glut of outfielders, and the way Alec Burleson's hitting right now, I don't see how you take him out of this lineup. I mean, he's really contributing.
It's been quite a some time since the Cardinals went into a series saying, hey, these guys are down, we got to beat them up. We're typically the team that people want to beat up here the last couple of months. When they're down, but there's no doubt about it. Cincinnati is down in the cellar right now, and we've got a chance to pick up some games and win another series and keep this train rolling.
Yeah, we haven't played very many games against our own division this year. We've not fared very well against the Milwaukee Brewers, who were in first place. Taking 2 out of 2 from the Cubs was big. Both of those games could have gone the other way, though. And the one little cautionary note that if you've followed these last two ball games. The Cardinals' three deep end of the game relievers, talking about JoJo Romero and the other guy, what's his name, James? Yeah. Andrew Kittredge and of course Ryan Helsley.
Oh yeah,
those three have been stellar all year. All three of them have struggled in the last two games. Now the Cardinals won them, but they had a cushion to go. So you do begin to wonder about overuse issues in the back end of the bullpen, and you're going to have to develop some more guys.
Yep.
For the late game situations. John King's been a pleasant surprise. The left-hander has been pretty useful for us.
And John, at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of hype around our shortstop. There was even comparisons made to the greatest of all time. He had spent some time down there with him. I'm talking about Ozzie Smith with Mason Winn. I was there Saturday night. He had an error, but I'll tell you what, he's been impressive to watch this point.
Oh, he's good. He's got a gun for an arm. His batting has been a very pleasant surprise this year. Remember, he didn't hit a lick when he came up last year, but he needed that time in the big leagues, and clearly he's made adjustments at the plate. I think his long-term future might be as a leadoff hitter for this team. He's batting eighth right now, but he's had a very consistent batting average all season. He's riding a long hitting streak now. So, yeah, Mason Winn's the real deal in a way that Jordan Walker has not been so far.
Cardinals are 51 games into this season, and I think the first 30 of them, many of us expected it to go like last year went.
Mm-hmm.
What's a successful season now as you look at this? Obviously, as Cardinal fans, we view that as going to the playoffs. But after the performance we had last year, the kind of dismal acquisitions that we picked up during the offseason, what do you think a successful season for the Cardinals looks like?
I think this team needs to win the Central Division, and I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers will come back down to earth at some point, I would assume. The Cardinals were never as bad as the team that was 9 games under .500 just a few weeks ago. And they've always had this potential. The offense is going to come around. And if Goldie starts hitting, and if Arenado picks it up behind him, the way the rest of this ball club is hitting right now, they're going to be a powerhouse. And I'm telling you, I don't know that we've got the pitching to go deep into the postseason yet. We definitely need another Sonny Gray level starting pitcher to get you two quality starts in any playoff series. But once we have that in place, you know, this team could go pretty far, I think.
For those who listen to KMOX, people know that sport fans can be fickle, and St. Louis is no different. John, if we went to a time machine 2 weeks ago, all the calls to KMOX were people wanting the head of Ollie Marmol.
Yeah, fire Ollie, fire Mozeliak.
And John Mozeliak. This little stunt here is put to rest some of that conversation to this point. Isn't it amazing how quickly it can turn?
Yeah. And I said, you know, at the beginning of the season, I thought this ball club was going to be pretty good this year. And I was surprised that they got off to the start they did, but they did. But there's enough talent on this team, and they've got enough pitching depth on this team that they're not going to be a cellar dweller. I mean, there's just too much ability there. And these guys, ultimately, their stats they put up at the end of the year look an awful lot like what's on the back of their baseball card anyway. And I think that will be the case with Goldie and Arenado.
Yeah, when you have Goldie and Arenado, Wilson Contreras also a big name, but he's sitting on the bench right now injured from that catcher's interference. Did it break his arm?
Broke his arm.
And is he out for the season?
No, he'll be back. He's hoping to be back early June.
I saw him on the bench this weekend. Yeah. He was up here in St. Louis, so I guess he'll have to do a
little
bit.
He was the best hitter on this club when he got hurt, at the point in which he got hurt. He was hitting the ball very well. And look, Ivan Herrera's been a great backup catcher, no mistake. And he's hit better than I think most of us thought he would. But Wilson Contreras contributes on a whole different level. He gives you a fifth-place hitter that's got real pop and some real protection for Arenado.
Yeah, and we all remember Jordan Walker starting the season. There was a big outcry for him to start here at the beginning of the season. He's been since gone back down to Memphis. You think we'll finish the season with Jordan Walker here, and will he ever bear the promise that we all hope?
I don't know. I thought he was a sure thing when he came up last year. And all of the hype, I thought his maturity level was outstanding. And he's still very young. And they expect great thing, like superstar type things from him. We've not seen it yet, but, you know, hope is eternal.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He was talking about someone's maturity level. It must have been me. I'm Michael Kelly. That's John Hancock. We're going to step aside. We're going to come back. There's one more segment until we take you off into your Memorial Weekend barbecues and festivities right here on KMOX. This heart?
That's Barracuda.
Barracuda!
What's her name?
Well, it's heart, right?
Is that heart?
On your voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Paul Goldschmidt batting with a man on again. He hit a home run the last time with a man on. There's a swing and a drive. That's hit deep to left field. Down the line, it's a goner. Goldie hits his second home run. 4-0 Cardinals in the fifth inning.
That's an important guy to continue to keep hot.
Yeah. He's a hitter. When he gets hot and streaky, I mean, he does massive damage. So you got to hope that this is the beginning of something.
A renaissance.
A renaissance, perhaps.
Yeah, because last year he had an off year. He was the MVP 2 years ago, right? And has an off year last year. I think a lot of us got nervous when this season started that he just still wasn't hitting.
Yeah, because his last 2 months last year were not good. Yeah. So, I mean, the first half of the season last year, he was fine.
Right.
And he's usually a slow starter historically. But, yeah, I think a lot of people were thinking Father Time may be catching up here.
And then on the other corner is an important guy to have a hot bat as well. And he's been contributing, Nolan Arenado.
I mean, yeah, but the power's not there. It's 3 home runs for Arenado. The 2 for Goldie last night gave him, 6 on the season, I think. You know, if this team's going to go far, you've got to have those two guys producing at a high level. And your third and fourth batters, or second and third batters, however you want to use them in the lineup, have got to produce runs. And Goldie produced all four runs for the Cardinals yesterday.
Yeah, and last night, the ace of the Cardinals took to the mound, and he just continues to roll on. Sonny Gray seems to have been the acquisition that we were promised.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He had a great season last year, and he's always been a good pitcher. His career ERA is quite good. And as advertised, he's come in and been an ace for this staff. He's 7-2 now. Great outing for him last night. His control, when he's got his control on, he's got such an assortment of pitches that is very difficult to outthink if you're a hitter, because he's got so many things. And that sweeper pitch of his is really impressive.
Well, the Cardinals still trying to find out who that fifth starter is going to be. They've been able to avoid having to do it. The rain out earlier this week postpones helped that another time. But we got Lance Lim going to the mound again today. He goes out at 3:10 is start time, so we'll have the pregame starting about 2 o'clock here on KMOX. Mm-hmm. And eventually those Cardinals are going to have to find a fifth starter, though, are they right?
Yeah, or deal for one. You know, it's been Matthew Liberatore, who's been much more effective out of the bullpen than he's been starting. His starts filling in for Steven Matz have not been great. And don't know if we've got any options. I guess there was some talk of who's the right-hander, James, that they were talking about bringing. Yeah. Andre Pallante down in Memphis. He may get the next fifth starter slot for the Cardinals. But I think you're at a place where you might have to go out and get a pitcher, and maybe not a number five either. Maybe somebody that's a number three starter. Not sure what's available, but the Cardinals now all of a sudden have, again, an abundance of outfielders. So Jordan Walker's down in Memphis, Tommy Edman's recovering from that wrist surgery, and you've still got Newt Barr, Donovan, Burleson, who's playing very good baseball. Siani's been in center field. He's gone once Tommy Edman comes back, I would think. But you're going to have a glut of outfielders, and the way Alec Burleson's hitting right now, I don't see how you take him out of this lineup. I mean, he's really contributing.
It's been quite some time since the Cardinals went into a series saying, hey, these guys are down, we got to beat them up. We're typically the team that people want to beat up here the last couple of months. When they're down, but there's no doubt about it. Cincinnati is down in the cellar right now, and we've got a chance to pick up some games and win another series and keep this train rolling.
Yeah, we haven't played very many games against our own division this year. We've not fared very well against the Milwaukee Brewers, who were in first place. Taking 2 out of 2 from the Cubs was big. Both of those games could have gone the other way, though. And the one little cautionary note, that if you've followed these last two ball games, The Cardinals' three deep end of the game relievers, talking about JoJo Romero and the other guy, what's his name, James? Yeah. Andrew Kittredge and of course Ryan Helsley.
Oh yeah,
those three have been stellar all year. All three of them have struggled in the last two games. Now the Cardinals won them, but they had a cushion to go. So you do begin to wonder about overuse issues in the back end of the bullpen, and you're going to have to develop some more guys.
Yep.
For the late game situations. John King's been a pleasant surprise. The left-hander has been pretty useful for us.
And John, at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of hype around our shortstop. There was even comparisons made to the greatest of all time. He had spent some time down there with him. I'm talking about Ozzie Smith with Mason Wynn. I was there Saturday night. He had an error, but I'll tell you what, he's been impressive to watch this point.
Oh, he's good. He's got a gun for an arm. His batting has been a very pleasant surprise this year. Remember, he didn't hit a lick when he came up last year, but he needed that time in the big leagues, and clearly he's made adjustments at the plate. I think his long-term future might be as a leadoff hitter for this team. He's batting eighth right now, but he's had a very consistent batting average all season. He's riding a long hitting streak now. So, yeah, Mason Wynn's the real deal in a way that Jordan Walker has not been so far.
Cardinals are 51 games into this season, and I think the first 30 of them, many of us expected it to go like last year went.
Mm-hmm.
What's a successful season now as you look at this? Obviously, as Cardinal fans, we view that as going to the playoffs. But after the performance we had last year, the kind of dismal acquisitions that we picked up during the offseason, what do you think a successful season for the Cardinals
looks
like?
I think this team needs to win the Central Division, and I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers will come back down to earth at some point, I would assume. The Cardinals were never as bad as the team that was 9 games under .500 just a few weeks ago, and they've always had this potential. The offense is going to come around, and if Goldie starts hitting and if Arenado picks it up behind him, the way the rest of this ball club is hitting right now, they're going to be a powerhouse. And I'm telling you, I don't know that we've got the pitching to go deep into the postseason yet. We definitely need another Sonny Gray level starting pitcher to get you two quality starts in any playoff series, but once we have that in place, you know, this team could go pretty far, I think.
For those who listen to KMOX, people know that sport fans can be fickle, and St. Louis is no different. John, if we went to a time machine 2 weeks ago, all the calls to KMOX were people wanting the head of Ollie Marmol.
Yeah, fire Ollie, fire Mozeliak.
And John Mozeliak. This little stint here is put to rest some of that conversation to this point. Isn't it amazing how quickly it can turn?
Yeah. And I said, you know, at the beginning of the season, I thought this ball club was going to be pretty good this year. And I was surprised that they got off to the start they did, but they did. But there's enough talent on this team, and they've got enough pitching depth on this team that they're not going to be a cellar dweller. I mean, there's just too much ability there. And these guys ultimately, their stats they put up at the end of the year look an awful lot like what's on the back of their baseball card anyway. And I think that will be the case with Goldie and Arenado.
Yeah, and when you have Goldie and Arenado, Wilson Contreras also a big name, but he's sitting on the bench right now injured from that catcher's interference. Did it break his arm? It
broke his arm.
And is he out for the season?
No. He'll be back. He's hoping to be back early June.
I saw him on the bench this weekend. Yeah. He was up here in St. Louis, so I guess he'll have to do a
little
bit. He was
the best hitter on this club when he got hurt, at the point in which he got hurt. He was hitting the ball very well. And look, Ivan Herrera's been a great backup catcher, no mistake. And he's hit better than I think most of us thought he would. But Wilson Contreras contributes on a whole different level. He gives you a fifth-place hitter that's got real pop and some real protection for Arenado.
Yeah, and we all remember Jordan Walker starting the season. There was a big outcry for him to start here at the beginning of the season. He's been since gone back down to Memphis. You think we'll finish the season with Jordan Walker here, and will he ever bear the promise that we all hope?
I don't know. I thought he was a sure thing when he came up last year. And all of the hype, I thought his maturity level was outstanding. And he's still very young. And they expect great thing, like superstar type things from him. We've not seen it yet, but, you know, hope is eternal.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He was talking about someone's maturity level. It must have been me. I'm Michael Kelly. That's John Hancock. We're going to step aside. We're going to come back. There's one more segment until we take you off into your Memorial Weekend barbecues and festivities right here on KMOX. This heart?
That's Barracuda.
Barracuda!
What's her name?
Well, it's Hart, right?
Is that Hart or Pat Benatar? I don't know.
Oh, it could be Pat Benatar.
It's hard to keep it all straight. Pat Benatar? Nobody knows. Hart? It's Hart. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been to a party where there's a piñata?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you actually, as an adult or as a child?
No, as a kid. When I was a little kid.
And my experience
may have had
with
a piñata at a party.
Yeah, I've been to a piñata party as an adult and as a child.
Yeah.
And both times I was unsuccessful in getting the candy to come out of the piñata.
They put the blindfold on you, right?
Yeah.
They spin you around.
Uh-huh.
Then you get to take a whack at the thing and, yeah.
Right, but how many more disappointments is one supposed to have other than something where you're supposed to smash it and candy's supposed to come out and nothing comes out, even as an adult?
Yeah, but that's the whole point of it, though. And somebody's gonna smash that thing.
Yeah, But you it's know. Always, yeah.
I've been a pinata.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody taking shots at you, you know?
Well.
But no candy ever comes out of me.
I was at a party where they had a Donald Trump
Pinata.
Pinata.
Uh-huh.
And a Joe Biden pinata.
Yeah.
And they were both there. And then, you know, you would put your blindfold on and you'd swing.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't.
I'd be worried what would come out of those things.
False teeth.
Broke them open.
Those veneers would come flying out, don't you think, huh?
Yeah.
Donald, who knows what would come out?
It's hard to say.
That's
an interesting topic.
Yeah, there's a restaurant next door to me. Have you been to one of these fondue places where you have to cook your own meat right there on the plate?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was okay.
I don't like that.
Why?
Well, I don't want to go to a restaurant and pay exorbitant amounts of money for me to do all the work. Which is to sit there and grill the food or throw it in the cheese and wait for it to cook. Now, the chocolate at the fondue places that they bring out with some marshmallows.
You dip it and eat it.
And apples and pineapples.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to dip it in that chocolate.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the fondue is good. I had a concept for a restaurant I thought was brilliant.
What could it be?
Bring your own meat. So
what?
I think this is brilliant. So what's the most expensive thing a restaurant has to buy other than the people, you know, their servers?
Okay, meat.
Meat.
Okay.
All right, so let's take meat out of the equation.
All right.
At the restaurant.
Okay.
Now, we'll get in the kitchen there, and we'll cook up the sides, you know, we'll have the dessert, good desserts at the BYOM. But you walk in, there's a big community grill there.
Okay.
Right in the middle of the place.
All right.
Bring whatever meat you want. You want salmon? Come on over.
Really?
You want to have a T-bone steak?
And you'll have an expert there that can help you with your drilling.
Well, consultant on hand, of course.
Uh-huh.
But you get there and you decide what sides you want. If you really want us to cook your meat, we'll cook your meat. But the beautiful thing is you bring your own meat.
Now, you said that the motivation behind this is that meat is usually the most expensive thing for a restaurant.
Yeah.
How are you going to make money if I show up with my $35 filet that I didn't buy from you?
I'm charging you money.
Oh, you're going to charge me? You're going to charge me like a decanting fee?
No, I'm making all the sides for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to bring your own sides.
You're going to jack the side price up?
So, and here's the beautiful thing about this concept, Michael.
Okay,
this is a brilliant idea. You can buy meat cheaper at the grocery store than you can buy it at the restaurant, right?
Right, but
so
as the restaurant, that's a good thing for you as the restaurant owner.
No. But I don't have to buy the meat now. Yeah. If I own the restaurant, people are bringing the meat to me. And they're cooking their meat, and I got, you want spinach? I got spinach.
I don't think this is well thought of.
Cauliflower? I got cauliflower for you there. Yeah. Green beans, Michael. Whatever you want. Mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, all of it there, supplied. You got a nice place to sit. You got a nice community around the grill. You're talking and meeting new people. Perhaps your future spouse is right there grilling her chicken breast next to you. I'm telling you, this is, you know, I just haven't had the guts to put it together. Yeah.
Did you ever go to back in the day?
Nobody's ever done this.
Here's a concept.
Bring your own meat. It's never been done.
No. Well, I there's probably a reason behind that, John.
Telling
because
you, buddy,
meat
brilliant.
Being the most lucrative part of the meal, as the owner of the
brilliant.
Restaurant, you don't want to miss out
I
on.
Sometimes
the,
amaze myself yeah. with how brilliant I really am.
Did you ever go to Beffa's back in the day, the downtown here?
No. Did you bring your meat
cafeteria style where you would go in.
Oh, the cafeteria.
A lunch day cafeteria style restaurant.
Miss Hullings used to be like
that. Yeah, and he'd have a couple different meats there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I get what you're saying. You could have all the sides, just none of the meat.
Yes, bring your own meat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's amazing this idea hasn't caught on.
I'm shocked because I've mentioned it before, perhaps, on the Voice of St. Louis. But
why not let them bring their own alcohol, too? So why bring your meat and your alcohol? Just show up with your meat and alcohol. You'll just have the sides and provide a place for them to eat.
Well, I want to be able to have the liquor there because you know. That's,
oh, you make
that's
money
a profit
on that.
Center. Yeah,
but
yeah.
but the protein, no
well,
profit.
Well, you make money on the meat too, but
uh-huh.
I'm thinking about the consumer out there.
So would it be like if I showed up with my steak or if I showed up with my burger?
Or chicken.
You charge me $10. To throw either of them on the grill?
Well, you gotta, you know, pay for the accoutrements that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sides, a little dessert out there. It'd be a little fee to use the grill, the community.
Yeah,
grill.
Well, I mean, even if you bring your own bottle of wine, they charge you a corkage fee. You would be charging
just like that.
Yeah, it'd be just like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing that this concept.
I am somewhat.
Why don't
amazed.
You put together a paper for us that we can consider on Friday?
Like a business plan.
A little business plan.
I will write a business plan for that. We got to have a name for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend money drain. We can call it that.
Bring your own meat.
Bring your own meat.
I think I'm onto something.
I don't know, John. I think you kind of got a goofy idea. Did you watch the Indianapolis 500 yesterday?
No.
Yeah, you're not into the car racing.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sure when you're there.
Uh-huh.
You know, the vroom, vroom and all that stuff going on. I'm sure it's kind of cool.
Well, they're just going in a circle.
Right.
See, I got into F1, but at least they're going different directions and they're passing each other. And the NASCAR
Well, they
and
said
Indy,
that was quite a finish at the Indy 500.
I guess, but they went in circles for 4 hours, and then in the last 30 seconds, something happened.
Al Unser won that thing?
I don't know. I don't think he's alive anymore. The guy who won last year.
Oh.
So he was a back-to-back winner, and it was
Jose
the first
Maria
time in a
while.
That's a golfer.
Oh.
So I don't think that. So let's remind the people on Friday we have the Friday edition of the Hancock and Kelly show.
If they let us back in the building, we will. Yeah.
So you can. Oh, they will. It's not a holiday, but they need us on Friday. So we'll be here at 8:30 on Friday. You can see Hancock and Kelly, the television show on Fox 2 on Sunday mornings at 8:30.
Much higher brow version of this.
Anything else we gonna plug?
Oh, we got the baseball game coming on at 3:10, and all kinds of good stuff next. I'm not sure what it is. Right here on KMOX.